The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 23rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. We'll also continue our coverage today of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour. Our thanks to the sponsors and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, and especially farm broadcasters Emery Clevin and Andy Vance, who've been traveling with and reporting on the Scouts' activities. Today, we'll hear about Iowa and Illinois. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $7.22.5. They were up $4. December contract at $7.39, up 7.25 for the day. September corn futures at $3.45.25, down 2.25. December contract at $3.62. That finished down 2.25. And the March contract at $3.77.25 was off 1.75. December corn for next year, a half higher at $4.01.25. September soybeans, $8.42, up 10.75. November beans, $8.58.25, up 11.25. And January futures at $8.73.25. They were up 11.5 for the day. November beans for next year at $8.77.5 for the 08 contract, 12 cents higher. Bean meal futures September's at $232.20, or rather $232.30. They were up $3.10. And the September bean oil at $35.29, that was 9 higher on the afternoon. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby August live cattle, $93.65, $1.37.5 higher on the afternoon. The October's up $1.37.5 as well at $96.85, and the August feeder cattle at $116.75 were 77.5 cents higher. September futures there up 77.5 at $117.32.5. October lean hog futures $68.47.5. They finished 67.5 cents higher. Outside markets, crude oil trading $69.90 a barrel for the October. They're 64 higher at this hour. The CRB at 303.16. That's up 2.53. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,203. And that's just about 33 points lower for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of weather, Dan Zwicker will get to us in just a moment, is our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. We have Ed online from the weather office right here at WILL because there's some pretty rough weather in the northern part of the state of Illinois. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd. Indeed, we do have some heavy weather that's already caused quite a bit of damage. We have reports in from Warren County, also from around Galesburg and Knox County of widespread structural damage, big power lines down, trees down, wind gust over 80 miles per hour, and the storms now are pushing through northeastern Peoria County and Marshall County on northward into around Putnam and heading into LaSalle County right now. So there's warnings out up that way, and one in our severe weather coverage area. That would include LaSalle and northwestern Livingston County. Livingston County in our severe weather coverage area until 3:15. And the line is rapidly moving northeast at 55 miles per hour. So if you are in LaSalle or Livingston County and the weather doesn't look bad yet, storms are well to your west. They're moving in rapidly, and they want to give you some time to take cover from the destructive winds that these storms are producing. And it looks like it'll be a long point in Livingston County at about 2:30. That's the estimate right now on the arrival of the the bad storms. And there's more storms up to the north. I just see Kane County just got put under a warning, DeKalb County. Many counties to the west are there under warnings. And there's a severe thunderstorm watch out until 8 p.m. for the northern half of Illinois and extreme northwest Indiana. That includes Livingston, McLean, Ford, and Iroquois counties in our immediate severe weather coverage area.
These are part of the warning that's also the flood warning in effect, flash flood in effect for the northwestern part of Illinois through Friday evening?
Well, there's that a flash flood watch there, and I'm sure there's going to be some warnings up that way because of the fact that more rain is coming. These storms are also producing heavy rain and in some cases large hail, too. So areas that have already been soaked in the northern third of Illinois and Indiana are going to get more storms.
All right. And since I have you, we could ask you very quickly how Iowa has made it through this last 24-hour period and where their rainfall's been.
Well, I don't have all the immediate details. I could tell you the storms here developed late this morning in eastern Iowa. So some of the far eastern counties really got walloped again, and there are more storms that are poised to go in there. They did get a break in the action for a while, but there have been some out in western Iowa, too. So Iowa's still under the threat of more flooding as well.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining us. And frankly, we hope we don't have to hear from you again in this half hour, because I know that means there will be something really bad on the weather front.
Well, it means something new, certainly.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate it, Ed. Ed Kieser is the chief meteorologist here at the WILL radio stations. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group has been waiting patiently on the line. He's in traffic, I think, in West Lafayette, Indiana this afternoon. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Doing fine, Todd.
Well, your cell phone doesn't sound too terribly bad. What'd you make of the trade today?
Well, I think it tells you that at least the way the beans closed and looking at what corn did and wheat did, that the trade is mostly concerned with crop prospects of the soybean crop. Dry weather has been the key focus here over the last 3 weeks as far as the soybean crop goes. And I think the trade is still very uneasy with those soybean prospects, where it's a little more comfortable, I think, with the corn prospects. And, of course, wheat continues to march into new lifetime highs, contract highs, all-time highs on, overall supply tightness of current supplies. So even though the closes were somewhat disappointing, or we closed near the bottom of the range, I think soybeans and wheat, they both did close higher, maintained their closes. But I think all in all, the market has had some pretty good advances over the last couple, 3 days, and a day or two of consolidation and a pullback would not be, out of the possibilities here.
Consolidation is a word that tells me that you're thinking things are going to move higher eventually?
Well, we're going to take one step at a time. I think the trade needs to have a little better handle on production. And we're going to begin to really hear some hard yields over the next week to 10 days, especially here in central Illinois. And I think you're going to see some here in central Indiana, too. And I think the trade will be listening to those yields very carefully, because in some of these areas where these yields are going to be coming from, or reports, should be very good, very strong. And if they're not, then the trade is going to probably get a little worried. But corn technically met a key objective here today of 271, or penetrating that July high. We went to 72, and now we have fallen back. So it kind of looks like this 370 area. I think I maybe said 270, but the 370 area now does look like that may be an element of resistance until the trade has some firmer numbers on overall crop prospects.
Speaking of that, have you been listening to the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Midwestern Crop Tour results, and what do you think of those so far?
Well, I guess I want to see what their final number is. I think, what we've heard so far is, I think, generally what everybody kind of feels is out there. Yields are variable. There's some very good corn in some areas. Soybeans are probably less able to maybe produce a good yield because of the pod counts are down. I think that's just, you look at the summer weather map, and it kind of tells you that there should be some real excellent corn yields out there. And if anything is going to come up short, it's going to be probably the soybeans.
And we will have Chip Flory with Pro Farmer on Commodity Week this week, so we'll get those numbers from him directly. They should be out tonight. We'll try to report those to you tomorrow. We do have some reports from that tour coming up in just a bit. I want to touch just a bit more on the wheat. These new all-time highs, can they continue to do that for very long, do you think, or will wheat run out of steam fairly quickly? I think, and I'm trying to pull my chart up at the moment, that it may have put a hook reversal in the lead option today, but I don't recall whether it did or not.
Well, as long as we didn't close lower, we did not put any reversals in. We did probably put in a disappointing close because we did close down at the lower end of the trading range. The wheat is, the big strength in wheat is in the nearby, is because the supplies are very, very tight. And you notice that the distant July futures or new crop futures is not following suit. That is because the trade is feeling that the current nearby prices will attract more acres of wheat. And I think it also says that wheat maybe has decided that we actually need to ration world supplies through higher prices. There's only so much the market can do as far as increasing production prospects. It's going to take time to do that. The market is definitely sending signals to increase wheat acres, but near-term supplies are tight, and I think the market is going to have to go to a price level to slow demand interest, and whether or not the current price levels do that, we really don't know for sure.
Dan, we appreciate you being with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Up next, more from the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. After moving through the fields of Nebraska Tuesday, it was off to Iowa for the western leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Crop scouts moved through the western part of the state before landing in Worthington, Minnesota last night. Chip Flory, the editor of the Pro Farmer newsletter and leader of the western leg of the tour, sums up the trends from the yield surveys that were conducted yesterday.
The biggest trend that stuck out in my mind was west central Iowa. Now, let's not forget that a year ago, west central Iowa burned up, absolutely got burned to the ground, and we did not see a good corn yield out of western Iowa at all, west central Iowa. This year, dramatically different. Dramatically different. Everybody, all the scouts that came in that went through Crop District 4 in Iowa, we're talking about some really good yield potential and obviously a whole lot better than what we saw a year ago. Now, down in the Southwest District, Crop District 7, conditions were really pretty similar, very similar to what we saw a year ago. More similar than I expected after all the early season problems that they had getting that crop in the ground. Those early season problems are probably the thing that when you sit down and throw all the numbers together, that's the factor that will probably keep the Southwest District from equaling what we saw down there a year ago. When you get up into the Northwest District, Crop District 1 in Iowa, again, we had the early season issues, and I think that left the crop just a little vulnerable to some of the hot conditions and dry conditions that we saw up in the northwest part of the state in July. The crop was under stress. Some of that stress showed up. And don't forget, a year ago, we really didn't have a whole lot of stress in most of the Northwest District. So as a result, we had a big yield a year ago. It's going to be really, really tough based on what the scouts are telling me. It's going to be very tough for this year's crop to equal a year ago, but it's going to be pretty close, I think.
Flory says the western bean cutworm showed up in northwest Iowa.
It's a western bean cutworm, but it is in corn. And we found a pocket of them. It seems like they were up there in O'Brien County in northwest Iowa. And these guys, you got to watch out for them. They, number one, they're not like an earworm. An earworm, if another guy tries to move in, they eat it and just get rid of it. The big one wins. But with these western bean cutworms, they seem to like company. They don't mind if there's two, three, or even four of those worms on the ears, and they don't just go in through the tip, in through the top of the husk. They'll bore right into the middle of the ear and eat and eat and eat. We had one ear today that had significant western bean cutworm damage, and that son of a gun ate about a quarter of that ear. And you just cannot underestimate the, how much damage they can do. Now, when you go out and scout for them, obviously you're looking for the holes right in the middle of the husk. You're looking for damage at the tip of the ear. And think about what you're doing when you open up those husks. You're opening up the ear to all the outside influences. And if you open up the husk, you're going to see some mold damage, especially with all the water that we've got in the western bean cutworm areas now.
Flory is urging producers to scout fields and prioritize which fields should be harvested first.
That point was brought up because of all the windblown corn that we're seeing in western Iowa. There's a lot of down corn. It's not like every field is flat or anything like that, but when you drive down the road and you actually get out of the field and back into the car and just make your windshield observations, you get up on top of a hill and you can look out across the fields and look at those side hills. There's a lot of pockets that are windblown and laying flat. And those are the fields that are going to have the toughest time standing through this year, especially with as much moisture as we've got. The plant health is good right now, but I'm not confident at all in the root system that we've got on this corn crop in any of western Iowa. I just assume that a producer goes out, and this is from Ken Ferry, the test plot manager for Farm Journal magazine. He recommends that and says, and I believe him, he says you can put more bushels in the bin at the end of the harvest season if you will just go out and do a pre-harvest scouting of your fields and prioritize which fields must be harvested first to keep that corn from hitting the ground. And this year, I think it's going to be critical because of all the down corn and windblown corn that we've got.
The Pro Farmer editor says there is good and bad news when it comes to the recent heavy rains in the Midwest, and he says the bad news is cause for concern.
If it quits now, and this excessively wet pattern stops now, we've got time to drain the fields to firm the ground up before we get into the harvest season and so on. And most importantly, because we do have plant health on both corn and soybeans, generally good, I think that the moisture that we're getting now is going to help add some test weight to the corn. I think it's going to help fill those bean pods and make a bigger bean out there. So that's the plus side of it. But if we go another 2 weeks and we stay in a wet pattern, we're going to get really worried about some late season diseases coming into the bean crop, well, and into the corn crop. It could cause some additional stalk lodging. And with the condition of the roots that we've got, I've got to be really concerned that if we stay wet for another 2 weeks up here, we're going to have a lot more down corn than what we do right now.
The eastern leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour is scouting eastern and central Iowa today, with yield numbers scheduled for release tonight. That's when they'll come together with the western leg of the tour at Ottumwa, Minnesota. Roger Bernard is the news editor with Pro Farmer and is leading that eastern leg of the tour. Andy Vance of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting was long on the tour. He talks with him about what the scouts are seeing.
Well, we ramped up the third leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour in Iowa City, Iowa. After traversing from Bloomington, Illinois, westbound, crop scouts encountered a lot of different things. Each leg of the tour brings its own tricks and treats. Roger Bernard, news editor with Pro Farmer, is leading the eastern leg of the tour. And Roger, if you will, kind of describe for us your impressions of that westbound trek from Bloomington.
Well, I think, you know, as we headed out, from Bloomington today, we started to get into some really pretty solid corn yield potential out there. Route I was on didn't happen to get anything over 200 bushel, but, some of the scouts definitely found some stuff out there over 200, some even up in the 220 area. Now, that's the kind of thing you'd really think you'd see coming out of the Illini State every year. I think some of the crop districts I went through, maybe had a little bit of an edge taken off that crop. And talking to some of the producers, you know, telling me that, look, as we came into this growing season, as we got into the growing season before we hit pollination and stuff, you know, we probably had a spectacular crop out there in Illinois. A little bit of a problem maybe in some of those fields as they move through pollination, a little heat at the wrong time, a little bit of dryness. The dryness question's been answered now, I think, you know, given the amount of mud that we tracked all over the course of things. You know, but those hot temperatures are kind of continuing out there, too. You know, we went from being wet to being warm in the Illinois cornfields today. You know, so while that maybe Illinois cornfield isn't a spectacular crop, it really could have been, it's still a very solid crop out there. It's a darn good crop. I mean, our yield of 160.35 bushels an acre, that's up 7.4% from a year ago. Again, I think maybe we're kind of reflecting a little bit of the issues maybe that have kind of come on and affected this crop. As you know, USDA looked for a 9% year-over-year increase in that crop. So we didn't find maybe quite as much potential as there was out there August 1.
Soybeans kind of continuing a trend we started in Ohio, and that's lower production than perhaps what might be anticipated in a typical year.
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, those Illinois bean fields, boy, some of those bean plants, you know, they're coming almost up to your chin for crying out loud. And that's, you know, but when you walked out in that field, they're all laying down because they've been tangled up by storms and things like that. Not saying that that's going to be a big yield reducer or anything like that, but, you know, it's still something that's going to have to be dealt with more towards harvest time. You know, our pod count of 1,297.7, down almost 6% from a year ago. USDA was only looking for a 2% decline in that Illini crop on the soybean side this year. I think that reflects the, you know, again, as we saw the negative conditions in Ohio and Indiana, you know, Illinois' crop did face some pressures. I mean, you can't get the pressures on the corn without some of that maybe spilling into those bean fields. And I think, you know, that presented a little bit more of a challenge than we maybe thought in for those Illinois beans.
That leads to the question of market impact. And you addressed it a little bit with the producers in attendance. And certainly the producers out in the field were watching those Chicago Board of Trade grain prices shoot higher throughout the session as we were traveling across Illinois.
Right, because, again, we're measuring, you know, less bean yield potential out there than we really expected to. And, you know, when we're looking at reduced soybean acreage this year, you know, we really can't have a lot of nicks to that crop. And when you start taking things out of Ohio, you start taking it out of Indiana, you start taking it out of Illinois, then you're starting to really add up. And with a carryover that's projected to be tight, then you start getting into a little bit of more nervousness in the marketplace, and I think that's what we saw and very well could see, especially as we look at these Illinois numbers coming out of here.
Roger Bernard's news editor for Pro Farmer. I'm Andy Vance.
Our thanks to Andy Vance of the Buckeye Ag Radio Network out of DeGraff, Ohio, and Emery Clevin of the Price Discovery Port in Bellevue, Nebraska. Emery was along on the western leg of the John Deere Midwestern Crop Tour. Andy, as you just heard, of course, was along on the eastern leg.
A quick reminder as we head into the cash grain segment that the National Weather Service in Chicago has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Livingston County in central Illinois, LaSalle County in north central Illinois. That until 3:15 this afternoon for the northwestern parts of Livingston County in central Illinois and LaSalle County in north central Illinois until 3:15. There is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect issued by the National Weather Service in Chicago. Joining us from Lexington, just north of Bloomington, Illinois. I think you're still in McLean County up there. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, just in McLean County.
Indeed. Well, I thought you were pretty close. So I wasn't sure whether you were one up from that or not. Tell me about your area. How close are you to harvest at this point?
Oh, I think we're probably that week after Labor Day. There may be some things going on, but really the following week, the week of the 10th probably is when things will really pick up and get going, it looks like to me.
And that would be a lot closer to normal than maybe some would suspect, I would think.
Yeah, that's pretty close to normal, maybe a few days early. And it, you know, it depends on the weather between now and then, too. I think if it hadn't rained here the last 10 days, I think things would have maybe been another week or so ahead of that. But I think this rain has kind of slowed things down a little bit.
You tend to watch the river numbers from time to time. What space has been doing there?
Well, really everything. Corn base has been pretty steady across the board, river as well as the processors. The beans have been a little bit better here as we've gone through the last week or so, especially the Central Illinois processor bids. They've been up pretty good here this week, trying to get some beans. Pretty typical as you go in the latter part of the summer. You know, the beans that are in the bins are probably going to stay there now, and a little bit harder to pull things out to get through that next 30 days.
No, we'll leave them put, but ask for your bids yet.
$3.15 on cash corn, $3.22 for new crop, $7.78 on beans, $7.83 for new crop.
Thanks much, Bill. Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agriculture weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Governor Blagojevich has approved most of a new state budget, 23 days after the old one expired. However, he vetoed $463 million in spending. In a release, Blagojevich said he made the cuts in special pet projects and other spending that the state can't afford. In his words, the cuts go back to the General Assembly for lawmakers to consider, but Senate President Emil Jones has promised to block any effort to overturn the vetoes. The rest of the budget becomes law, ending months of gridlock that had delayed some state checks and threatened to hamper government services if it continued. The Democratic governor renewed a promise to add government health programs that legislators had refused to support. He plans about $500 million in new or expanded services, despite questions about whether he has the money or the legal authority. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says BP made a difficult business decision that could result in the company dropping plans to expand its refinery in Whiting. This morning, BP said it won't increase the amount of pollution it dumps into Lake Michigan from the refinery, even though state officials had granted them a permit. Former Illinois Governor Dan Walker says the federal prison in Oxford, Wisconsin, would likely be a better choice for convicted former Governor George Ryan than the facility in Duluth, Minnesota. Walker served nearly 18 months in Duluth about 20 years ago. He says it was a miserable place. Ryan has been told to report to prison if a federal appeals court turns down his request to review his conviction. An economist at the University of Illinois says employment figures over the next few months will show just how much the credit crisis will affect Illinois' economy. A monthly report from the U of I's Institute of Government and Public Affairs shows that the state added nearly 25,000 jobs in May and June, but economist Jeffrey Hewing says future growth may be affected by tighter credit. The body of a soldier from East Central Illinois has arrived back home from Iraq. A contingent of emergency crews and volunteer veterans known as the Patriot Guard accompanied the body of Army Specialist Justin Penrod from Willard Airport to Urbana Church, where Penrod's visitation and funeral will take place. Penrod was from Danville and had lived in Mahomet. He was killed in action nearly 2 weeks ago in Baghdad. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. I forgot, frankly, that when we spoke last to Pete Levitt, he told us he'd be on vacation in Alaska. Fortunately for us, that's all right, because Chief Meteorologist from the radio station, Ed Kieser, is on hand in the meteorological office. Hi, Ed. Thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it much.
Good afternoon. Alaska sounds good. I was there a little over a year ago. Beautiful place, and not as humid as here and not as stormy.
I'll bet Pete has a lot of fun, he and his wife, on a cruise through Alaska. But right now, the weather is rough in the northern part of Illinois, isn't it?
Yeah, in northern into central Illinois. We just had a tornado warning issue for DeKalb and Kane counties. That's in effect until 3:15 p.m. The radar indicating strong rotation near Malta. Storms moving east at 45 miles per hour. And in addition to the tornado threat, widespread wind damage with winds in excess of 80 miles per hour are likely with that and some other very dangerous storms. But that tornado warning includes Cortland, Maple Park, Elburn, St. Charles, Geneva, Batavia, and all the way up to an area 7 miles north of Aurora, including a lot of farmland. So that's why I mentioned that. And just running down the warnings, there's severe thunderstorm warnings out for at least portions of, if not all of, the counties of Kendall and Grundy and Kane, Marshall, Woodford, LaSalle, Livingston, and Lee, DeKalb's warning, of course, upgraded as well as Kane to that tornado warning. And northwestern Livingston County is under a severe thunderstorm warning until 315, and that's included in our severe weather coverage area. The whole area, all of the northern half of Illinois, under a severe thunderstorm watch until 8 p.m., as well as extreme northwest Indiana. And these storms have a history of producing a lot of damage, including knocking some crops down.
And will they be around for very long? I know you've got them scheduled to go into parts of Indiana at this point, but I suppose my question here is, will we get them a series of storms this far south in the Champaign County area at some point? What's the two-state region as a whole look like?
Well, I think for today, the northern half of Illinois and Indiana is, and especially the northern half of Illinois to the northwestern third of Indiana, is where the action's going to be. Mm-hmm. So Champaign County would be on the far southern edge of it. In fact, we're not under a watch. It's just north Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean on northward and westward of there. So we're on the very southern edge, of which south of there could be a few isolated thunderstorms, but it's the northern third to half that's really going to get raked with not only the damaging winds from some storms, but more heavy rainfall and some hail. And once these storms go through, there may be another batch coming in behind it. It doesn't look like we're going to be done with all of this anytime soon, as there are more storms firing up. They're not widespread yet, but in south-central Iowa, back into northwestern Missouri, and the atmosphere is just very unstable up to the north.
Yeah, and how soon will we get rid of that instability and get something in that's a little more stable?
Well, I think by the time we get to Saturday, most areas will be starting to stabilize. There will still be showers and thunderstorms on Saturday as a cold front pushes southward, and then late Saturday, Saturday night, and Sunday, not only more stable, but a bit cooler and less humid, more comfortable weather coming in. We'll have another batch of a little bit of heat early next week, and then another cold front really taking the humidity out of the air.
Thanks much, Ed. We appreciate you filling in.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser is chief meteorologist right here at the radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Mark Report for this Thursday afternoon.